Today we want to look at James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, and it reads as follows. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. We want to think for a few minutes on this thought, bearing up under the load. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts and minds that we might readily receive your word, may accomplish all that you desire for us to do in our lives, that we are strengthened, encouraged, built up, but most of all, Father, that glory returns to you who gave us your precious scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I would like you to consider the thought, bearing up under the load. In regards to the hay wagon with the broken axle and the fallen wheel. You see, the axle on the hay wagon broke not because of the load being too heavy. The problem wasn't the people that made up the load. The problem was the axle itself. Over the passage of time, it had become weak from wear and tear and age. They say nothing lasts forever. From the outside, everything appeared to be normal. The wheel appeared to be intact. There was nothing that gave any hint that there was something going on more than meets the eye underneath the paint. The same is true of us. We come in here with our faces washed. We come in here with our teeth brushed. We come in here with our hair combed. And we all look all right from the outside. But down on the inside, it's another story. If the truth be known, some of us, if not all of us sitting here today, are not holding up too well. Why? Well, for some, it's just the wear and tear of life. You get older, things don't move like they used to move, things don't work like they used to work. We've put in a few replacement parts. We put in a few additions to try to keep the thing together. We might add a little hair, add some glasses, add some teeth, add a new joint or two, whatever it takes, repair a heart with another heart, whatever it takes to keep us living and breathing. For some, it's the type of life that we live. A short life lived hard, or a busy life of working hard, both take their toll. It is the breakdown of the body through sickness, or it is the breakdown of the body through disease. It is the heart which aches. And it aches from things both old and new. It's the troubles of the mind from two things. A, the things that we can't forget. Or B, it's the things that we have a hard time living with. But all of those things on the inside cause wear and tear, and the question I want to ask us is, how are we bearing up under the load? And what does the Bible say about life with its struggles and how we're supposed to handle that? And that takes us to James and his remark about bearing up under the load. The first thing he says is, be patient. Someone once said, well, I want patience, Lord, and I want it now. I don't want to have to wait for it. I need it, and I need it now. And if you read Romans chapter 5, it says that tribulation brings about patience. So the only way to get patience is to go through something. And the process of going through something gives you patience. For those of you who have ever been in the hospital for any number of days or weeks, it can get very exciting being in the same place every day, looking at the same people doing the same thing, because the hospital is a very regimented place. They wake you up, get your breakfast, they wake you up, they give you lunch, they wake you up, they give you dinner, and then when you think you're going to rest, they always say, you don't go in the hospital to rest, you go in the hospital to get well, because in the middle of the night they come in and poke and prod, strap a little band on you and say, we want to take your blood pressure, we want to take your temperature. You're like, but I was sleeping. Well, you can go back to sleep after I'm done with you, but the whole idea is it's a long, tedious process of getting well. That's just one instance of having to deal with something. You could have something you're looking forward to in life as a young person. You don't like school. You want to get out. You want to move on. You want to be what you want to be. You want to do what you want to do, but my goodness, they make me go to school. 9 months out of 12, they make me get up every day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Will it ever end? Well, it depends on how much you want to be and what you want to do. If your job requires skills that you don't have, then you're going to spend another 4 years, plus another 2 years, plus another 4 years, plus whatever it takes for you to become qualified. And if you don't like school and you're at the beginning of the trip, it can seem like an awful long road to hoe. Be patient. The word means long suffering. Take it. Take it with a smile. Take it with a gracious spirit. Take it with a positive attitude, because the alternative is not pretty. People who act like they're stuck in lemons. People who act like they're always unhappy. People who act like they've always got an attitude. You're a joy to be around. Not true. Take it and take it well. And he's saying that in light of what's going on in these believers' lives, that if you remember last week, we were talking about people that were being abused and misused and punished by those who had power over them, and they were taking their money, they were hauling them into court, they were even trying to kill them and do away with them. He says, be patient, because there is a God who sits high and looks low and is aware of the affairs of men. And when you call your father's going to come and see about his children. So, be patient. And if you want to understand what it is like to be patient, there are some in the room, some in the front row, some in the back row. One would be Mr. Charlie, the other would be Mr. Jim, and there's Mr. Roger and others among you who have been farmers. If you're agricultural, you go out and a couple months ago, you plowed it all up, turned it all up, put it all in. And the last time I checked, when I planted my garden, I went back the next day and looked. And it looked exactly like it did the day before. Nothing. Next day, nothing. In about a week to 10 days, there was some action going on. But whatever it was I'm growing, he says, learn a lesson from the farmers. Things take time. What is it they said? Rome wasn't built in a day. So the whole idea about living life and handling things to come is be patient, because you're not alone. God is going to take care of what he needs to take care of. So just learn a lesson from the farmer. He says, there is a day of judgment coming. For those of you who are wondering, how long is this going to go on? How long do I have to put up with this? How long is this wrong going to continue? When is something going to be done? There is a day of judgment coming. The Bible says that at one day, everybody will stand before God. There are two judgments for believers and unbelievers, and if you're an unbeliever, you're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. Why you said what you said, why you did what you did, and then your judgment is going to be pronounced. If you are a believer in Christ, you're going to stand and receive your reward for a life well done, because you had faith in Christ, and you believe that he was up there, and he was up there for you and for me, but he's not up there anymore. It says that he died. They didn't kill him, he died. And then he put him in a borrowed tomb, and he was there for 3 days, and he told everybody, I will rise again. And I believe that, and because I believe that, the Bible says now I'm a member of God's family. So because of that, I can get to heaven, not because of what I've done, not because of what you've done, because of what Jesus did on the cross. So there is a judgment coming in the future. He says also, be patient, or long-suffering. Establish your heart for the coming of the Lord, draw it nigh. been warm the last week or two, but it is the month of July. And people come camping, and some of them are just doing it the old-fashioned way, which means they have a tent. Some of them bring in these big 30-foot-plus monstrosities with slides that come out and all the creature comforts. They hook up their satellite dish, and you wonder why they bothered to leave the house, because everything they did at home, they do, because they don't come out of the camper, they're just sitting in there in the air conditioning, camping, they claim, having a good time. Nothing's changed, it's their location. Then there are those who rough it a little further, and they have a tent. And, you know, a tent, it's not always the most air-conditioned place to be. It gets a little warm during the day and uncomfortable at night. And people sometimes try to find ways to keep their cool and to cool off. And some of them are known to try to drink their coolness away. Liquid courage, and their moods and their minds change, and they behave irrationally and irresponsibly and do silly things and say stupid things. And then they call me, and I have to go deal with people. And, you know, you got a man and a woman, and they stayed one day too long, and they drank one beer or whatever it was they were drinking, too many. And I say things like, "You having problems with your wife?" "That's right." I say, "Well, you know what I always say? You don't mind being with a woman that's hot. You don't mind being with a woman that's bothered, but you sure don't want to deal with one that's hot and bothered. Take her away! I'm taking you away because you're the problem." But anyway, my point is people get short-tempered when it gets hot. I was down at Pike Lake, and some kid said, "I think those people over there are arguing because I heard her say I should just take the kids and leave, and I don't think he's going to let her." So I went over, and they were sitting there. I said, "Hello," told them who I was. "Said, is there a problem?" "Well, we have been arguing." And I said, "Is everything okay? There's no problem here." "No." I said, "Do you think it's because it's 92 degrees outside that this is part of the problem?" When people are under duress, when they're trying to bear up under the load, we forget one important thing. Now, the world doesn't know anything about this because they don't look at life like we do. Bearing up under the load simply means this. When we're down there, dealing with it, whatever it is, and we're working with other people, we forget many times who it is we serve. We forget many times why we believe in God. And we take our focus off of him and start looking at them. And they, those thems out there, are getting on my last nerve. I tell people when they say, "You know, I only got one nerve left," and he's getting on, I say, "Well, go get you some more nerves." But anyway, people, when they're doing stuff and they're tired and it's going on and it's just seeming like no end, how long is this person going to be sick? How long am I going to have this disease? How long am I not going to have any money? How long are my kids going to give me headaches? How long is my husband going to be causing me problems? How long are the people of the church going to act like they have to treat me like they treat me? How long? I can't take much more of this. I need some help. I am getting lower and lower and tireder and lower and weaker and slower, and I don't think I'm going to be able to take it another minute. We forget. The Bible says, "I will lift mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help." When we remember to look up, we remember we serve a God who can do anything but fail and lie. In Isaiah, he says, "To those who are weak, he will give strength. To those who can barely walk, he will give us the ability to run." You see, the idea is of getting your second wind. And the idea of getting the second wind is that you can run on a little longer and see what the end is going to be. But when we get our mind focused on God, our perspective changes. And we realize that what we do for Christ. It's not for the applause of men. It's not for the pat on the back. It's not for the handshake, the head pumping comments that people give you. "Great, great, great job. Love it, love it. Just wonderful. I can take that home and eat it, can I?" Sure, I won't be hungry off the comments. My point is if we get caught up what people say and what people do, people will let us down. They will disappoint us because they're like we are. They're human. And when they don't do what we think they should do, even what the Bible says, we can get an attitude. Now, what is wrong with David? Now, you know you were supposed to be here, and you didn't show up, and I don't know what your problem was. You didn't call, and I'm not taking any more of it. Fine, I won't have to be here. Oops, I said too much. I mean, Sister Beverly, I can make you mad. I'm not coming. I'll have to put up with that. I can stay home if I want to hear that. Just kidding. We focus on people, and we can be discouraged more by people than anything else. Because we always notice their flaws and all the things that are wrong. And so when we're bearing up on the load and we forget to look up, we can lose hope. As long as we've got hope, we're going to make it. Someone once put it this way: keep your eye to the sky, your nose to the wind, and your ear to the rain. Always be looking for what's coming your way. He goes on to say the following, as we're getting down to the end. You know, if you don't want to look at the farmers as a good example, because you don't relate to that, then look at the prophets in the Old Testament. They came out and said, "Thus saith the Lord." Clunk, bang, thing, shoot, bang, hang him up, string him up, killing, drawing, quartering, killing. You know, they went the whole lot of stuff because they were standing for God. And they didn't give up. They didn't run away. They didn't turn tail. They stood four-footed, flat-footed, and four-square, taking what they had to take because they knew it was God that gave them the strength to do it. So what that says to us is that when we have to bear up under the load, think about those who had to bear up under the load before us, and take hope that the God who gave them the strength is the same God that will give us the strength. Whenever you're going through something, the perfect book to read is the book of Job, because Job went through much more than many of us ever will. Does that mean he was happy about what happened? No, he was not happy. He complained, but he still kept his faith intact. There were two instances. First of all, when he lost all of his possessions and all of his livestock, his livelihood, he said he was not going to curse God. And the second thing, when God touched his body and he lost his health, he didn't turn around and curse God. He said to his wife, when she said, "Curse God and die." Gee, now if that is an encouragement, I don't know what is. "Just give up. Just throw in the towel." And he said, "Shall we receive good and not evil at the hand of God? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then the writer says, in all of this, neither did Job sin nor charge God foolishly. He didn't run around making a bunch of silly statements about God because he was upset. He was upset, but he still knew that God was in control. Verse 11 says, "We count them happy which endure," or "blessed which endure." You go, well, where is the blessing? The blessing is seeing what God is doing in the midst of our circumstances. The reason why a lot of things happen to us is so that we will know who God is and where we stand with Him. When the sun is always shining, when it's always nice outside, do you love the Lord? Oh, yes, God has been good. Well, what about never had a bad time, never had a bad moment, never knew a bad person, never had any misfortune, never had any heartache, never had any hopeless situations? My life has just been sunshine every day. What do you know about God? God is good. How do you know He's good? Well, the sun's shining. You know, it's not until the rain comes and everything floods and washes away and it's just you and God, you realize that God is still good, because the same God that sends the sun is the same God that sends the rain. And the metaphor is whatever happens in our lives is either sunshine or rain, but God allows it to happen for His purposes. He's working out His will in all of our lives. People have tempers, and they claim that you lose them. You don't actually lose them. What you do is you find them. And I've seen many people who sat up in church pews and sounded like they were just holy as Moses, until something happens outside the church. Something happens at home. Something happens at work. And they always told me, what comes up comes out. And all of a sudden, you strike your thumb with a hammer and whoa! And just 5 minutes ago, you're saying, "Brother, I'd like to invite you to church." And they're like, "Okay, I'm having a little problem here, because that's what I said last week when I hit my thumb with a hammer, and you just said the same thing, and you say God is good and merciful." And so the point is, you know, verse 12 is simply saying this. He says, "But above all things, brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, lest your yea be yea and your nay be yea, lest you fall into condemnation." We have a witness because the world is watching. We have a witness because the church is watching. We have a witness because God is watching. And we should always be careful about what we say, because we don't want to falter in our lives, but we also don't want to falter in our language. It's easy, as I said before, to talk nice when things are going well, but can we still talk nice when things are not going well, when we're under the load? And the answer is yes. You see, here's what we've got to look forward to. The coming of Christ provides a mental and emotional stability to our lives that we don't have when we don't have a relationship with Him. And when we bear grudges and hold grudges, what we're saying is we have the ability to forgive, but we choose not to because we think it gives us power over people. We're not here to have power over people. We're here to win them to Christ and let the love of Christ that we say we have overrule our natural tendency to be mad at people. So don't just get mad and stay mad. Get mad, go home, and sit down. The Bible says when people do stuff, just consider and look in the mirror. You do stuff. I do stuff. We don't always get it right. People are always happy with what we do. So if we can forgive ourselves, we need to be able to forgive everybody else and not hold grudges because it doesn't show forth the life of Christ. And I close by giving you two passages to talk about the importance of bearing up under the load. You see, sometimes when you're serving the Lord, it's going to cost you something. In John chapter 6, Jesus had just fed the multitude. And the only reason why they came back the next day is because they were looking for lunch. Well, dinner was good last night. I wonder if we're going to have for lunch today. And Jesus gave a metaphor because he talked about his blood and his body being sacrificed and eaten. And they're like, what are you talking about? It sounds like cannibalism you're talking about, your blood and your body being given and spilled for men, for sin. And Jesus says this, when he said that, he talked about he was the bread that came down from heaven, as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread, speaking of his body, shall live forever. In verse 60 it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if shall you send the Son of Man to sin where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore say I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him unto my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. When he put something on them that they thought it was too heavy, they decided that living their life was more important than following Christ. And my question to you today is this. When the loads of life get too heavy, are you just going to quit? Or are you going to continue to trust God and follow? And when they went away, Jesus asked the ones that remained this question. Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You see, that's what's going to help us to bear up under the load, the fact that we know Jesus Christ, and he's given us a little slice of eternity, and the fact that we know him. Those of you who are married and have a marriage partner, it's a wonderful thing. The Bible says in Amos, how can two walk together except they be agreed? It's nice to have somebody that when you stumble is there to help you. It's nice to have somebody that when you're under the load can help you carry on. And it's interesting to watch you married couples who've got decades of this marriage thing in, how you compliment one another with the way you show love and care for one another. You anticipate, you know the needs, you know what's going on, you know what she likes, you know what he likes, and you're there. And it's great to have that. But more so in a spiritual sense, we find these words that Jesus said to us about living the life called Christian and carrying the heavy load. He says this in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. And I close and say this. When we're under a heavy load, when we're bearing up under the trials and tribulations of life, what will Jesus do for us? Jesus says the following. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Walking with Christ means we're not alone. Walking with Christ means we're not running ahead or behind. It means we're in step. It means we learn how to walk. It means to learn where to walk. It means we learn how to handle life. And he says, my burdens are light. My yoke is easy. We learn to look at life in Christ's perspective, and all of a sudden, the things that burdened us, we can now give to God. The things that concern us, we can now give to God. And that's what he invites us to do. Come, share your burdens with me. I'll trade you your burden from mine. My burden is one that will take you on to glory because it is the gift of eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us that when life is hard, when life is tedious, you've given us a Savior who's told us to come and lean on him. And he'll be with us every step of the way to help us make it over, to help us make it through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.